Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Well, it's been another week and yet another battle over the soul of America. We have been hit by another loud and furious controversy here in the United States, this time over the issue of abortion. This week, Alabama and Missouri both passed pro-life bills, and those bills have no exceptions for rape, incest, or any sort of fetal deformity. And in Missouri, the bill talks about not allowing any abortion after 8 weeks. Earlier this month, Georgia passed a heartbeat bill, which outlaws any abortions after 6 weeks. And Ohio, Mississippi, and Kentucky have also passed anti-abortion pro-life bills this year. 2 days ago on Twitter, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey wrote, "Today I signed into law the Alabama Human Life Protection Act. To the bill's many supporters, this legislation stands as a powerful testament to Alabamians' deeply held belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God." Now, the reality is that probably a lot of the lower courts here in the U.S. will reject these bills, but you could probably look at this as the state's attempt to challenge Roe v. Wade in the Supreme Court and try to basically undo the Supreme Court's incorrect ruling back in the 1970s. That ruling was based on activist judging. It was obviously constitutionally farcical because humans in the womb are human beings and we're supposed to protect the God-given life to right or to life. Well, as you can expect, there's been a lot of liberal backlash this week because of these abortion bills being signed into law. And I have just a sampling of some of the responses. Well, a lot of them said that abortions have been banned instead of guns, which somehow proves that conservatives are not really pro-life. A lot of them said that, well, conservatives only really care about the baby while it's in the womb, and then they abandon that child as soon as it is born. Basically, because conservatives don't want the government to have to raise children. Somehow that is not really pro-life. There are a couple of pretty obnoxious hashtags trending on Twitter this week. One of them was "Shout Your Abortion," basically encouraging people who have had abortions before to be proud of it, to come out into the open and really proclaim how it has changed their lives for the better. Another hashtag, "You Know Me," and this is talking about supposedly the 1 in 4 women who have had abortions. I don't know how you could actually come to that statistical conclusion, but here is one of the tweets in that hashtag. "I was pregnant and didn't want to be. That's it for backstory. It's never anyone else's business. I gave very little thought to any option besides abortion. Pregnancy would derail me and my life. It wasn't traumatizing. I don't regret it. It was the best decision." So when you hear something like that, it is hard not to really feel sad for those types of people who really don't seem to understand what they are doing in that type of a process of abortion. Other people compared women to easy bake ovens or incubators for children, and they said that that's how conservative men view them, basically as conduits for producing kids. A big argument as well was that women could get hurt trying to have illegal abortions. But that argument quickly falls apart when you consider any other crime. Anytime we want to commit a crime, I hope this is just a hypothetical for all of us, there is obviously a risk involved. There is the chance that we could get caught or we could get shot. But that doesn't mean that the crime should now be legalized just because we have to face a risk when we want to commit that crime. A lot of activists for abortion also say that the fetus is part of a woman's body. This despite the fact that the fetus has separate DNA and often has its own separate unique blood type. They also say that abortion is a difficult decision in most cases, except for in that tweet that I mentioned. Well, why would abortion be a difficult decision if the fetus isn't alive? If it's basically the equivalent of removing your appendix or your tonsils, why would it be difficult to decide to have an abortion? And finally, this one might be the most controversial or brain dead of all of the opinions stated this week. White men can't have an opinion on the issue. So unless somehow abortion is something that you could actually perform on your own body, you certainly cannot even have a thought about it. But it's interesting because one question has been purposely never answered in all of this confused outrage. When does human life start? Like I said, there's been a lot of emotion, a lot of outrage, a lot of chanting of slogans, people demanding non-existent rights to murder their children. There's obviously no natural affection, which is prophesied about this end time. It's not natural for women to want to do this. But what about the question, when does human life start? Why won't they address that? No subject exposes the liberal mindset quite like this subject of abortion. And so that brings me to the main material for this program today. This is an article from the March 1979 Good News, and it is titled, "What is a Liberal?" The late Herbert W. Armstrong wrote this. He starts out by talking about how his son and other liberals actually tried to destroy God's work in the 1970s. During that time, Mr. Armstrong was traveling the world. He was meeting with world leaders. He was greatly expanding the reach and influence of God's work, proclaiming a message of hope to the entire world. And yet back at home, back at the headquarters of the church, there were liberals working behind the scenes to try to undermine everything Mr. Armstrong was doing. In this article, Mr. Armstrong talks about the letter and the spirit of the law. He comes to define what a liberal is, and he explains exactly where they go off track, where liberals go off track. He talks about here the Ten Commandments and how these simple laws in your Bible actually cover every possible sin. Sure, there's only 10 of those laws. Man's laws have many thousands of different points, not just 10. But what if you apply the spirit of the law to those 10 commandments? That's where you can really answer every question, every moral question like abortion, or for example, smoking. Mr. Armstrong gives the example of smoking because he used to smoke habitually about 3 cigarettes a day, which really isn't too much compared to most smokers. But he finally sat down and just considered this subject. He realized that when he was smoking, it wasn't a way of loving God. It wasn't a way of loving others. And of course, he was doing great health damage to himself. So he realized by applying the spirit of the law that smoking is a sin. Here's a quote from this article. Again, this is from the May 1979 Good News, and it's titled, "What is a Liberal?" And I'll put this in the show notes today. Mr. Armstrong writes, "Jesus Christ, through me, put into God's church the teaching that smoking is wrong. Mild or not, nevertheless, it is a sin. Now, if I had decided that as some of our ministers wanted, to decide doctrine, I would have said, the Bible does not contain a specific law against smoking. That is the way of the liberal who wants to water down the truth of God and go as far into this world, which means as far in Satan's way, as possible and still get into God's kingdom. The liberal is one who has a different approach to questions of human conduct than God, or those who have really been conquered by God and are being led by God's Holy Spirit. Mr. Armstrong then talks about how God really, really, really hates sin. It's not an issue where he actually has to just try to resist sin and somehow is successful every time. He hates sin because it's actually the opposite of his eternal, righteous, unchanging character. And for us to really grow as true Christians, we must learn to hate sin the same way that God does. We must learn to apply the law the same way that God does, not just by looking at the letter of it, but the spirit of it as well. Obviously, the Bible can't possibly tell us every possible sin and every possible situation thousands of years down the line like we are right now. Society is very different today than it was back when the Bible was written. There are so many sins that it is now possible to commit today that were impossible to commit back thousands of years ago. But we can apply spiritual principles from the Bible to understand even today what sin is. And God expects us to do that. As far as we understand, as far as we know how, God expects us to obey the law and apply the spirit of the law. Imagine if God did try to write down every possible scenario where we might sin. There would literally be millions of different points. No one would ever have time to read them all. And we wouldn't have the possibility or the opportunity to develop God's character by applying the law the right way in our lives. It would be nitpicked for us. We'd be basically micromanaged into hopefully obeying the law. And that's not how God wants it. Continuing here from Mr. Armstrong, the liberal among us today wants to get into God's kingdom, but he wants to go along with this world's ways as far as God will allow and still let him make it into the kingdom. The liberal has deceived himself. I do not believe the liberal realizes his own attitude. In his heart, the liberal would like to go along, at least partway, with this world. Mr. Armstrong even points out here how Satan is a liberal. Satan is the ultimate liberal. And that's quite stern condemnation for any of us who would think of going that same way. And finally, Mr. Armstrong concludes this article by talking about the mind of Christ. So obviously we don't want to follow Satan's example of liberalism, basically finding any possible loophole, any possible area where we can rebel. This does relate back to abortion very specifically. I saw a clip from CNN, and one of the anchors was actually talking to a pro-life advocate, and he said, well, according to our law, the fetus is not a human life. According to our law, abortion is okay. Okay, but what about the truth of the matter? You know from your science class that life starts at conception, and that they might try to deny that now, but that has always been taught throughout the history of science forever. They can try to deny that now. They can try to make laws that go against the scientific biological reality, but there is still a such thing as right and wrong. Man's laws don't always get it right. In fact, usually they get it wrong. So to only argue that, well, right now, currently in the U.S., abortion is okay, doesn't actually justify it morally, doesn't justify it in any way by God's law. So we have to understand the mind of Christ, and we have to understand exactly how we would apply spiritual principles and the spirit of the law. And the letter of the law, of course, in the case of abortion, it's against the letter of the law too, but they try to find ways around it. So here's how Mr. Armstrong concludes this article, What is a Liberal? He writes here, but God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. What is the mind of Christ? What is his attitude? His approach to viewing and deciding all activities? Does he, as I asked before, really want to sin, to think and act contrary to his law, but because of his superpower restrain himself? We know he has never sinned, but why? Is he sinless because he has such supernatural power to restrain himself? 1,000 times no. The living Christ has never sinned because he does not want to sin. What is his mind that should be also in us? It is a mind that hates sin, that loves righteousness. It's a matter of attitude. The liberal is not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He wants to ease off a little on God's law. He wants to do only as much as he has to receive the reward of eternal life. He has not yet fully gotten rid of the get attitude and come into the give attitude. It is Satan who deceives and puts into many human minds the desire to go as far into this world as he thinks God will allow, and into its ways of vanity and intellectualism, vanity of mind. Having the attitude of the spirit of the law is the attitude of the mind of Christ. So obviously in this article, Mr. Armstrong is talking about liberals within God's church. That's why as soon as Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, 95% of the church basically just fell apart and they rebelled against everything God revealed to the church through Mr. Armstrong. But it applies probably even more so to the liberals of today because, well, they don't even care to get into the kingdom like Mr. Armstrong is writing about here because most of them don't believe God exists. Most of them are far more extreme than liberals within God's church could possibly be. But you see that attitude of looking for any loophole, looking for any way to get around what is right and what is wrong, to get around what God would tell us to do in different situations. You know, they can get mad. They can scream all they want to about how a child in the womb is such a huge inconvenience, or you're not ready for it, or you're scared, or whatever it might be, or maybe it's a sad situation the way the child was conceived. But what is right and what is wrong? That is not being considered in any way by those people who are so outraged by really leaders who are stepping up and making the righteous decision to protect life. People, there are millions of people right now upset about that. Just think about that reality. That is just how far away from God our society is. There's actually a couple of really good articles recently from the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine. You can go to thetrumpet.com and find those, and I'll put those in the show notes as well. One of them is from the April issue, and it's titled, "The Inspiring Truth Abortionists Should Know." Now, again, most of them don't believe in God. Most of them have no understanding of the God family. And so they don't really understand the parallels between physical and spiritual life. They don't understand the devastating harm, the horrible parallel to physical abortion. And maybe if they understood that, they'd think differently. And then the other article here is from the May-June issue, and it's titled, "Climate, Gender, and the Fight Over Truth." So that is definitely something that's going on right now. We're fighting over truth in this country, and there are so many millions of people who just want to deny truth because it's inconvenient to them personally. Thanks a lot for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.